What up, Buzz? You tapped in? Okay, Goose, you tapped in too? All right, Chicago, y'all tapped in? All right, boys, let's crack them.
Now you ready to see?
Feel like Mike in the fourth with the ball in my hands and I'm taking a shot. I'm the king in the madhouse on Madison, whether I make it or not. Now the crowd going crazy, they watching the play and I'm watching the clock. Got my shot in the air and the buzzer go off and I'm watching it drop. This team did things, MJ shot city, six rings. D-Rose, too big, too fast, too strong, history. And we good on that, put Jilla on the track and we good on whack. 3, 2, 1, everybody say Bulls on tap, Bulls on tap. Our city pretty and gritty, Benny the Bull in the crowd getting hyper and litty. Me, I'm so drippy and slippery, nothing offends me. Banners on banners, we winners, we got the stats in the news. Go and subscribe, hang out with Buzzy and Goose. Tapping with us, we the truth, Jilla just murdered the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz. I'm joined by my dude Goose. It's the end of season recap show. We're here. We've made it. We have gone through another season of subpar basketball, and we're here to recap it, talk about some stuff, talk about the Arturis Karnišovas press conference, and just other great shit. You know, we always talk about great shit. Goose, I'm not going to do the whole spiel because I've missed you for a week. And I just want to get into this one and talk about it. Everybody knows they can go to ontapsportsnet.com. You go everywhere there and you subscribe to YouTube. That's the only two spiels I'm having. They know where to follow us on X already, Goose.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think if they're here, they probably already follow us there. So,
right.
And our followers are smart enough. They can see the advertisement there. They know where the show's at. If they're listening, they already know how to get here. So,
right. It's not hard.
I too missed your face, especially after we so foolishly let the temporary Kool-Aid let us think that the Bulls were actually going to win the game against the Miami Heat. There wasn't even too much second thought, which is funny because like when we got off the podcast, I was like, I should bet my house on the fact that they're going to fucking lose this game. because I just knew. I knew. They like it's the Bulls. We watched this team all year, hot and cold, 50-50 ball, sub 50-50 ball. You knew all it took was one person to sneeze wrong and the Bulls were going to find a way to lose this game in Miami. And
they did just that. Yeah.
It was a rather embarrassing start. There wasn't much of a recovery.
No Terry Rozier, no Jimmy Butler. No problem. No problem at all. And Miami comes out and Eric Spoelstra out coaches Billy Donovan. And gets more out of his players than we can get out of any of ours, really. I was pretty disappointed. Surprised, no. We kind of called it all year. We've been accused of being negative. We are. And that's because we told you so, fuck faces. So that's why you now know. I'm just kidding. I'm just taking shot at the people that try to troll me.
Because reality sucks and the reality is ownership and the front office were content with the roster that they've had for the last three seasons, minus the same player who hasn't been here since it worked in Lonzo. And then he lost Zach and he lost Pat, and they're still headed into the offseason talking about how they just want to win and they just need to do better. And how do you do better? You're capped out. Your assets are gone. They have protections on them that like makes it difficult to trade future firsts at this point. Because nobody knows when they're going to convey. If you're smart enough, you'll be bad enough next year to where this pick doesn't convey to San Antonio.
Well, I'm glad you said that about the picks thing, because that was reported that they don't want to attach. Like when KC was asked about attaching picks to something, like even say like LaVine, and that's why Caruso was so heavily rumored to be involved in any deal that had to do with him because of the value you're getting back. They don't want to attach any picks because they've learned their – I mean, they – look what happened. Well,
they've learned their lesson?
Well, I don't know if they learned their lesson, but they know that they don't have a lot in that department. They know what the perception is behind them.
Going balls to the wall with assets that you didn't suffer several years for in an intentional rebuild to build this team, this B squad, C squad of ex-All-Stars that you hope could do something together when none of the three played defense and two of them were aging and one of them is known as a not-so-smart and crunch-time ball-dominant shot chucker? Like, oof. You let Lauri Markkanen, who is just phenomenal at this point, go for darn near nothing.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up too, because that's another hot topic on here. You guys know that if you watch a show, we're all over the place because we're having a conversation about shit. That's another thing that was brought up.
It comes down to Acme's evaluation and their processes.
Like they were saying that Lauri was brought up in the Twitter circle that we do exist in. And about how are the Bulls going to do the same thing with Patrick Williams? Are they going to, is he going to turn into another Lauri on them? I want to remind everybody that Lauri was the fastest rookie, I believe, was it NBA history to 100 three-pointers made?
Yes, he had broken several of Steph's three-point records. In his first 2 years, he had several 20 and 10 stretches that were over like 10 plus games long.
Yeah, let's stop the comparisons. Tell me you didn't watch basketball without telling me you didn't watch.
Nearly a 20-10 player per game, not just in stretches, like for the season. And that was the year that he had like 26 and 12 averages for an extended period. And you're like, holy shit, this dude could be an all-star. And then obviously Zach got fully healthy.
A regression happened a little bit.
And you brought Jabari Parker in and he did a whole bunch of there was a bunch of dumb stuff in between that hindered Lowry's development here in Chicago. But ultimately, you ended up drafting Patrick Williams, who you tried to sell to people as a small forward when we all knew he was a power forward. And then it made Lauri expendable and you had to get rid of him instead of paying him because you thought that she had his replacement. And now it's that time to pay that guy. And unfortunately, that guy hasn't even proven to be Lauri Markkanen in his sophomore year. By his senior year, you haven't seen that glimpse for 10 games in a row. You've gotten it maybe 2-3 times in the time that he's been healthy, which is another topic because for somebody who looks like they're built like a brick shithouse, durability doesn't seem to be a thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's had some trouble with his time in the league. I just think that it was a crazy ass comparison when I was seeing everybody be like, oh, well, what about Lauri? You know, Lauri, he turned into a star. The same thing's going to happen with Pat. Lauri showed stretches of being that guy. Like, let's just please don't forget. Patrick Williams wasn't invited to the fucking rookie sophomore game.
There was a point in time where Garpax valued Lauri more than Levine. It was Lowry's team. Lauri was the pillar. Zach was kind of expendable. They kind of had the similar view to other people.
Flirted with the Kings about it, with the Max. Are they going to match it? Are they not going to match it? Because we have our guy. We drafted him seventh. There was times like this. Stupid comparison when people do that.
Not ever for even a three-game period have I gone, you know what? Patrick Williams can take the reins from DeMar.
Over a three-game period? Yeah. If anybody – yeah.
Mid-range because of DeMar. But I have never once gone, you know what? He's ready to take DeMar's spot. We can let DeMar go. Pat's ready for that role.
Because no one with a brain that's watched him play a 10-game stretch goes, yeah, he can ball. Listen, the kid's got some shit that he could do. He's just not consistent with it. We've said that before. I just thought it was a stupid comparison. It was just a side thing that I wanted to get out because I have to do my weekly episode, Patrick Williams hatred segment. I don't hate anybody, but I didn't know what else to call it. But there were changes that have taken place already since the season ended, Goose. We saw Chris Fleming depart the Chicago Bulls. Mo Cheeks is not going to be with the Bulls at a full-time level anymore. It does say here, though, that it's going to be like he'll still be around, which is kind of odd.
So, no, I mean, I like that because Fleming at this point, given how the offense has gone and how long he's been around, he's a hangover from the previous coaching staff, I believe. I think he was with Fred's staff.
No, Fleming came from Brooklyn. I can't remember if Fleming came with Billy or if Billy retained him from Boylan's Bulls.
Okay, so not all the way back to Fred, but
because it went from Fred to Jim. I would have to look at that. I didn't even think
about
it.
I do feel like Fleming was here and he was retained because he was one of the only coaches that was retained.
Was Fred fired in 2020 or 2019? because they said that Fleming has been there since the day Coby White was drafted.
Okay.
I believe, because that's why a lot Casey Johnson had made note that, and somebody else too, I wish I can give them the proper credit, but had brought up about how Fleming was like, that was Kobe's coach. It's like, okay, signed to work with all the time.
Okay.
And that was, you know, after a breakout season for Coby White, a lot of people find it surprising to see Chris Fleming going out.
No, I mean, if that's his guy and he's on the way out as Kobe's ascending, that's definitely a
well, it's an odd thing, but it's also an assistant coach, and you have to do something when you finish under 500. Lord knows they're not getting rid of Billy Donovan.
Okay, I got it. So we gave Billy a secret extension, so we can't make him the scapegoat. We got to get rid of the offensive coach because we still didn't change our shot profile built around an offense around DeMar DeRozan. And Nikola Vucevic, who shot.
I still don't give Billy
3-point this year. Like, your offense is built around two aging ones, all stars who can't shoot the three ball. And you talked about changing your shot profile. Sorry, firing Chris Fleming ain't doing shit to improve this.
No, it's not at all. But I still don't think this is Billy's fault. I think Billy's trying to run a current NBA offense and what it looks like in the year 2024. And I think that we have built a team that might have done well in 2015, maybe 14.
I don't think Billy should have been the sacrificial lamb either, but
yeah, not yet. I hold my people accountable. I'll come at him like a fucking spider monkey if you really fucked it all up. I'm serious. I'm dead ass. But in this situation, I can't blame Billy. But I just thought it was a weird thing because Fleming has been touted as one of the best assistant coaches around, has a very good portfolio.
Why he's tired of being attached and linked to this disaster.
I mean, shit, dude. Yeah.
Maybe he didn't get fired. Maybe he's just like, fuck you guys, I'm out.
I wouldn't doubt it. But so Billy's going to rebuild this whole staff. I know that they've made another hire in the meantime. I'm looking for who it is. But I mean, again, I don't even know who it is. I'm not going to pretend like I do.
When it comes to coaches and like front office people, like me and you both wanted AK in the front office. But the reason we want him in the front office was because we looked at Denver and we said, holy shit, that guy can build a team. And he, you know, had his hands in the Jokic cookie jar. And he believed in that guy. And he did that. So there was reason that we're aware of to have faith in AK coming into this. Obviously, at this point, that feeling has changed quite a bit. And did we realistically expect him to find another Jokic in the first 3 years? No. Did some people think that was Marco Simonovic? Yes. You know,
shots fired, man.
Shots fired. So no, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know coaches. I've never played for any of these guys. I am not friends with players who have played for these guys. I'm not going to pretend that watching Billy chew gum through the TV screen makes me understand how he coaches or what he's doing in huddles. So, like, I'll leave that to the pros, and we're professionalists. Kinda.
Try to be.
But, you know, I'm not going to pretend to know which coach is the right decision for an assistant coach.
I'm not going to play in that whole thing either. When people do that, that's just because they want to throw hot takes at the wall to say they're right. You had mentioned about the offense and how it's built around an aging Nikola Vucevic and an aging DeMar DeRozan. On DeMar DeRozan, Arturis Karnišovas in his end-of-the-year presser said that DeMar has been great for us for 3 years. He's been invested in the city of Chicago, and he's been really great to our young guys. So both sides are interested in continuing, and we'll see what happens in free agency. It was reported that the Bulls offered him, and now the numbers have been skewed a little bit. It's been reported that he has received a two-year contract offer extension for $42, $45 million a year. I saw that shit.
And shit yourself?
Yeah, like, are you fucking kidding me?
Or maybe shit myself even more was when I read the part that he declined it because he wanted more years.
Yeah, one more years. Are you fucking kidding me?
What? Motherfucker. They at least attempted to do what we talked about on the previous show, We said, if you're going to extend DeMar and you're going to try to tie him up and link him to the duration in which you are now tied to Nikola Vucevic because you paid that man when you shouldn't have, and that's just kind of is what it is, and DeMar and Vuce will be around to be your vets for a young rebuilding team, and you're overpaying them to be here, but it doesn't matter because the rest of your roster is filled with fucking rookie salaries from having draft picks. Right. Like, if that's the goal and that's the vision, by all means. But at this point, they're shoveling us more continuity bullshit down our throats and telling us that it's all going to get better. And I can't do it because another offseason.
Listen to me. This is a blessing in disguise that he said no because he wants more years. Walk. Go.
Walk. No, please go.
Please, you please get the right thing. It's out there.
Out of mid-level exemption until the league phases you out, because as much as I love you, as much as you've been great for the fans and you've been great in terms of memories of a free agent that has been brought in my lifetime.
And done something awesome.
And done something, plenty of awesome things, has made this team worth watching the last few years, regardless of who else has been injured. I do not want to pay you again. Over 2 years? No. The $40 million was insane. Like, what do you... Are you trying to prove the point that you've never paid the luxury tax in the last decade?
Did they not know how to fucking haggle? Did he go in there and they say, hey, we're going to give you 25? He goes, 30. And they just say 40? Because they're stupid. Like, why? I don't know. I mean, I love DeMar, dude. He's great for the young guys. Like, that's awesome. And everything, and I had a lot of fun watching him play here. I just don't really understand.
I think the Clippers.
Yeah, we're going to see Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, and Zach LaVine on this fucking team next year.
You're going to lose Paul George, although Kawhi Leonard is reported to be playing in Game 2.
He played yesterday, last night.
Did he?
Yeah, Dallas beat him.
The report was that Kawhi wasn't going to play.
No, he played.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I watched last night. Yep. It's really funny. Again, another fun conversation I had with my brother, who was just here before he left, but about how his generation, he's much younger than me. You know, he's 10 years younger than me, and my other brother's 13 years younger than me. And they're fucking know-it-all assholes. So, like, you know, they have everything figured out. But they always make fun of me and tell me about how my era basketball wasn't as talented as the era is now. Do you notice that all these teams having trouble breaking 100 points in the playoffs this year because everybody's playing defense? It's like, oh, no. Actually, do know what I'm fucking talking about here. It's a different league. I'm sorry I went on that tangent. I'll let you continue. But I went on a tangent there.
Well, no, I'm just saying DeMar should go to the Clippers, regardless.
I don't want Paul George. Do you want Paul George?
Oh, no. I'm not saying – I mean – would I take Paul George over DeMar just because he shoots threes? And I think he might have a little bit more life in him. Sure. Does that change anything for me? Does that make me feel better? Not really. I mean, if 2 years ago you told me I could have Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, Paul George, Patrick Williams, and Nikola Vucevic, you know, I probably would have been like, damn. That team's a contender.
I probably would have said about Patrick Williams, but right with you.
But 2025, Lonzo coming back off an injury that's never really successfully been come back from to at least be, you know, the player that you were before. Obviously, the player that he is in his favor in that sense because he's not based on his athleticism. But a disgruntled Zach LaVine coming back happy and confident and playing good ball like we've seen him play.
Being grateful he wasn't shipped to fucking Detroit. Being
grateful he wasn't shipped to Detroit because his agent suggested wisely to have a season-ending surgery that kind of ixnayed that. And maybe Nikola Vucevic, who shoots 35% from three-point next year, and somebody who shoots more than three threes a game. Yeah, like I could get behind that more, but no, more so.
Yeah, we might win the play-in.
More so, I'm just saying that DeMar's not going to get a sniff of $40 million anywhere else but here, and that's only because what we gave up for him, and as we've touched on multiple times, paying him means you give him the keys to send your pick to the team that you traded for him. If you are just good enough, like you were this year, to finish 11-14 in the lottery, you are sending a lottery pick next year to the San Antonio Spurs because you decided to pay DeMar DeRozan $40 million a year. Say what?
Just sounds crazy when you say it out loud.
Who is thinking this? Like,
it can't be Arturas Karnišovas because we finally see accountability here, Goose. We finally see accountability within his opening statement at his end of season presser, where he said, "We fell short of expectations. The goal is a championship. My mission remains unchanged."
Sir, your mission statement to start the season was you wanted to see the first round of the playoffs. You cannot go from playing 11th, capped out, not enough money to retain the players that you have going into free agency, talking about offering one dude $40 million when the other guy apparently still wants 20 and you gave up a fourth overall pick for him. So which guy do you value more? The guy that you invested your rebuild in with the fourth overall pick, the sixth man out of FSU, or DeMar DeRozan, who's about to be 36 years old, still plays the game that was played in the 90s and hasn't had playoff success his whole entire career. And you want to talk about a fucking championship? Stop. Don't say those words in my presence anymore. When you first got here, it was cute. Let's make us cute again. Let's win a championship. I was excited. I don't want to hear that shit now. I want realism. I want harsh realities, not false fucking realities. Get out of here with these rainbows and butterflies. We know we're in hell.
I was excited, and he fucking took it away from me. He did it quick, too, motherfucker. Man, did he have me bought in. That's what, like, with this press conference, I'm like, man, you know, people are like, hey, he took some accountability for something, and I was like, yeah, you know what? He did. He's reeling me, and then I thought to myself, I'm like, no. You've hurt me too much over the last 2 years because you have done nothing, literally nothing. You walked away from the game on simulation with injuries off, which means it just keeps fucking going and nothing changed. Nothing. I mean, I don't really buy anything. I feel like this guy's in way over his head. I hope I'm wrong. I want to eat my words, but it has been a bad couple years with him. I don't want to spend so much time on the closing show with him. I do want to talk about a huge thing that I think that we should get into before this ends, because we do good at going about a half hour. We do good. Coby White not being the most improved player, and Tyrese Maxey, I know we talked about a little bit on the show before, but now we get to really dive in. I believe Coby White had 305 votes or something like that. Maxey had like 342. It was somewhere in that ballpark range. Maxey obviously gets the award over Coby White. Do we not realize that Tyrese Maxey had made a jump last year? I mean, a major jump.
And that's my issue with this.
One more thing, Goose. After Embiid was lost, that 76ers team fell apart. Okay? Like, when the Bulls already sucked ass. But Coby White literally went from getting barely any rotational minutes.
The whole team got better as Coby White got better with the loss of Zach LaVine.
Right.
The team got better as well as Coby.
Right. I think that should be accounted for with that award.
Which where my point comes in, and it tags along with your point of last year was Maxey's year to write home about, because he made a rather successful Philadelphia team make it feel like Harden was expendable. Like it was possible to go into the offseason and let him walk or trade him or whatever may have you. But he made you feel confident that you didn't need James Harden anymore, which is a big thing because James Harden is an entire offense, regardless of the age that he's at, for better or worse. He's a whole offense. This year, Tyrese obviously went up 5 points per game. Awesome. Great. It also went down 3% field goal, 6% three-point, and it took him 5 extra field goal attempts to achieve those extra 5 points per game. He was already a 20-point-per-game scorer. There is no question in my mind that the debate should and could be made that he should have, you know, had a chance at that award last year. This year, there is no way the jump that Coby White made should not have been respected and honored more than what somebody who already established themselves did. That's not what the award is.
Right.
It's not who's the better player right now. It's the most improved player. And you cannot tell me across the board with any argument that there was a more improved player this year than Coby White in regards to expectations and physical stats.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I feel like he was robbed of that award. I don't know why. I mean, I've had a couple of good buddies that have sided with the Maxey thing, which is totally fine. I mean, you know, teach their own. I just think that watching these games as much as I do, and I hate to sound like that guy, like, I watch these games. Coby White did a lot more for the Bulls as having to be the guy to literally get you to when, I guess, the guy gets the ball in the fourth quarter, right? If Coby White's not cooking in the first three, then you're not getting the guy, DeMar DeRozan, this year in the fourth quarter. When Tyrese Maxey was handed all of the responsibility, I would have to pull up the numbers of that stretch. There was a 16-game stretch there when Embiid was out as well, that Maxey, I mean, everything went down, like you said, and it was bad. A lot of responsibility was on him, and not only stats went down, losses piled up. So I don't know if we're just gauging this on personal stats or whatever, or the fact that you have to carry a team or what position you're in. And what I mean by position is, are you a playoff team or are you not? Because Coby and Tyrese Maxey were kind of in the same boat there for a little bit. I know the Bulls were 9 a lot, but the Sixers were flirting around there in that play-in. It was happening to them.
And Kobe's ascension is the only reason that this team even finished close to what they did.
Right, right. And that's not taken into account for either. Is if Coby White doesn't go on that crazy run, the Bulls are...
because the Bulls had a bad season. Yeah. So, unfortunately, because Kobe's team sucked, he is not going to get the appreciation and the notoriety for the season that he had this year. We'll remember as fans, as Bulls fans, but unfortunately, he's not going to get that award that says that he was the most improved player when... by most eye tests and stat metrics, he was.
Another. And
that's not saying he was the better player. He was just the most improved player.
Yeah, he definitely was. Again, I wholeheartedly agree on that. Another Chicago Bulls related thing that, if people don't know much about it, I don't have a ton of information behind it, but it does. The Bulls, the White Sox, and the Blackhawks are all under contract with NBC Sports Chicago to broadcast their games. That'll be coming to an end shortly. And the rumored spot is Stadium, which, if you're not familiar with Stadium, it is a sports streaming channel. I believe it's on, I don't know if it's on Roku or not. I think it's on Samsung TV. I'd have to look. But anyway, it's a streaming service. I don't know if you would have to pay for this, but I'm telling you now, if you have to pay for this, I love the Bulls. I love the Sox. I am not paying. You know who owns it? You know who owns Stadium? Jerry Reinsdorf. Jerry Reinsdorf owns.
Jerry's going to collect money when you watch him on TV and when you go to the game. Fuck that.
Well, he's got a stake in NBC too.
Of course he does. He's a billionaire.
That's just some little tidbit news. I'm not going to spend too much time on that because I don't know much about it. What I am looking forward to the most.
You would think that guy would invest just a little bit more in his teams in terms of care and money. Because the success of those teams literally lines his pockets in every way, shape, and form. More games on TV. He has money in television. More money in just straight revenue in the stadiums. The more games you play, the more excited fans are.
He's trying to get a new stadium.
Well, yeah, that move, like going to Tennessee and flexing, like, oh, I'm just going to move the team states. And then going, you know what? I want $4 billion.
It's what the Bears did today. They go on TV and they try to sell the city of Chicago. It's like, we're giving the largest investment ever by a private-owned team of $2.25 billion. You're fucking worth billions. Anyway, I can go into the whole thing, but it's going to get crazy and I don't want to. The Bears, fuck you, and taking my parking away and my tailgate. Fuck you if you actually
they're taking away the tailgating?
Did you see the renderings of that new stadium they put out? No, you got to go look at it. Where the fuck am I going to park? And then all the people that live in Chicago are like, we're not worried about you parking. Okay, cool, dude. Did you know that like over fucking 60% of the Bears season tickets currently are from fucking people outside of Chicago?
Well, and most of those people with season tickets go to tailgate.
Right.
It's like the whole fucking experience.
There's no reason to go.
It's literally as much as I love Wrigley Field as a Cubs fan. I would rather go drive to the fucking Brewers Stadium and watch a game there because I can tailgate.
Yeah, tailgating there. Yeah, I've tailgated there quite a few times at Miller Park. It's a great time.
Yeah, no. So I would rather go to Miller Park than to Wrigley because I can play bags and get plastered out of my mind before I even go to the fucking game.
Yeah.
So, like, for most sports fans, for better or worse, alcohol is a big part of that regimen. Yes, you take away that pre-game parking lot party, done,
dude. There's no reason for it anymore. I just party in my garage and watch it on TV on the camera they sell me as being like I'm there. What is it, 4K? It's like, wow, I'm really fucking there. This stupid ass close up camera angle. You know, I don't know. All right. Going to talk about the playoffs. We're going to talk about the playoffs a little bit because, you know, I'm an NBA head and I'm so looking forward to watching this. Oh my God. OKC is beating the shit out of New Orleans right now. It's 45-27. It's bad. Bad.
Sounds like we're watching the Bulls game.
Yeah, no shit. Have you seen any playoff series that have, like, you know, made you be like, okay, this is dope? I mean,
the Timberwolves, Suns.
Yeah.
The fact that Bill Simmons is out on the internet talking about trading Devin Booker for, like, CJ McCollum and shit is, like, DEFCON 5, like...
Panic. Just fucking panic. I mean,
especially because I have to admit, like, Cat, Gobert, and obviously Ant is the reason why this thing's working and taking off. But I just thought that that was the dumbest fucking idea ever. And they've made it work. And they're beating, Kevin Durant's fourth super team. Like, he's proving that he is somehow even worse at super teams than LeBron. Like, you can put together the culmination of all these All-Stars and fail even better than LeBron. You did it, buddy. You really fucking did it.
I have really dug the Mavericks Clippers series. I really like that the Mavericks stole one at the Staples Center or whatever they call it now, the Crypto Arena or whatever. I think that that's been good. Of course, I was telling you during the regular season, I thought that Anthony Edwards was going to have a breakout year. We're seeing that. He didn't shoot particularly well yesterday, but he did enough to win the fucking game. And Jade McDaniels, another one who played a great game for Minnesota yesterday. So I don't know who's going to win these series, which has made this a ton of a ton of fun to me, dude. Like, it has just made a ton of fun.
I know Lakers fans are hurting.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they got some bad news today. Christian Wood is out for them. Jared Vanderbilt is also out for them tonight. That's two very big losses for them. Or not tonight. I'm sorry. That's tomorrow. But, like, that's two big losses for them, and they're already down in the series 2-0. So they're going back. They're going to be playing at home. They might steal one this series, but Denver's too fucking good, dude. Denver's just too good.
No, I had a Lakers fan at my register talking about, like, oh, after game one, like, man, I thought we had it. Like, you know, I'm like, it's the Nuggets, bro. And, like, you're in Denver. Like, it has always been a saying that the series doesn't start until the home team loses a game.
Right.
And notoriously, first games for LeBron are feel-out games. Like, LeBron loses the first game for him at this point of his career. That's business as usual.
Right.
I was just testing the waters, especially if he's on the road. So the fact that Denver stole that game back in game two is what I think is going to be the defining factor in this series, is that they didn't let LeBron pull his rope-a-dope and come out and steal one on the road, because, you know, he's got that whole just got to make the playoffs philosophy at this point because he stopped making the one seed. So,
man, he's been not making the one seed for a long time. He's been barely getting in since he basically got, I mean, you
it's
know.
It's almost like the NBA created the play-in for LeBron's end of his career.
My God, that was a fucking conspiracy theory I didn't think I was going to hear today, but I'm all for it. So, you know what I mean? Like, that, did you see? I felt like you saw my interest peak. No,
I never thought of it either. It just hit me like
a ton. Just hit you right now?
It just hit me right now. Yeah,
man. A spirit might be trying to tell you something or something. You know what I mean? They're fine. Oh, my goodness.
Did you hear that Michael and Scotty can be friends again because Michael's son stopped piping his ex-wife?
I just would feel that that's done. You know, I would just be like, eh, I'm probably not going to be his friend anymore. I mean, fuck that guy.
In Mike's defense, he didn't like it either. He was like, no, that shit's not cool. That's not right. But I can't tell my son what to do. Like, he's a grown man. And Lars is clearly Medusa.
I'd be like, dude, what? I would just ask him right away. But, like, are you fucking for real? That'd be the first thing I would say to him. Like, my kid. Like, I would just try to treat him like
Since now we're on conspiracy theories.
Yeah, yeah.
Outwardly, publicly, was MJ like, fuck that. But, like, to Marcus, was he was like, do that shit.
Of course he was. Of course he was. Yeah.
He's out here doing a tour talking shit. Do that shit.
Yeah.
I can't do it because, you know, like, I don't really go out in public.
I'm not going to give Scottie Pippen the time of day. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have my son, who lives because I exist, then I'd probably do anything, and he's going to go pipe your wife. That's what he's going to go do.
You know what, son? You failed at basketball. You couldn't carry on my legacy. You know what you can do for me?
Yeah, you know what you can do for me? You know they've been talking about LeBron's kid for fucking 3 years. They never talked about you. So how do you make it up to me? Scottie's been talking shit. Go get the job.
I get that Larsa doesn't really have Scottie's genes, so it wouldn't really work this way. But a Jordan Pippen child would have been pretty dope.
You know? Oh, I see what you're saying.
I mean, like, yeah, no, like, she doesn't have Scottie's genes. Like,
that would have made sense if it was like if Scottie had a daughter, you know?
Yeah. So Marcus and if Scottie has a daughter, they need to find each other because that might be Chicago's only hope at a future star.
What makes you so sure it ends up in Chicago?
I don't know.
Nothing good happens here, man.
No.
I put a tweet out the other day, dude. I said, the White Sox are borderline unwatchable, right? And I don't know how many responses I got that just said borderline question mark. I'm like, okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me that people are coming at you for being a hater again.
No. They're just coming at me for being borderline. Then this one guy asks me, he goes, if they're borderline unwatchable, then why do you watch them?
Because
I respond with, because I'm a Chicago sports fan, all I know is pain. And he put fair. Okay?
All I know is pain. And I said borderline because I can't decide if I should be watching or I can watch or I won't watch, but I'm still watching.
Yeah, there's really no reason to be honest with you, Goose. There's just no reason. I mean, to watch them is bad. Yeah. I mean, did they lose today? They were making a little bit of a comeback against the Twins there. And they ended up fucking blowing it. They're 3-21, dude. They are 3-21. Your camera disappeared. And you're very quiet. And now you're back. What's up, buddy?
I'm here.
I'm here. What's going on? Well, it's a good time anyway, because we went over about 10 minutes of our bullshit. You got any parting words before we return next Wednesday?
No. I mean, if you stuck around for our conspiracy theories, I'm sorry. I think our takes on the Bulls are pretty realistic and unfortunately painful, but that's kind of what we do here. We ain't gonna feed you shit. We're not gonna pretend to know things. We're just gonna complain like real fans do. And unfortunately, right now there's not much to do but complain. Our team did what's kind of expected of our team, and they lost a game that was gifted to them. To go to the playoffs and get their ass kicked by the Boston Celtics, and they said, "Nah, 1-2-3 Cancun," and I blame them because they probably got to start Cancun early in Miami. They're just like, "Fuck it, we're going out tonight," and here we are.
They just want to go on vacation, huh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, that sounds a lot better than getting embarrassed on national television by the Boston Celtics for 4 games. At least blowing it to Miami was just one game. And then what happens if you accidentally win a game and then you got to embarrass yourself for an extra one just because you actually didn't embarrass yourself one night? Like,
oh, no. If they won a game, then everybody and their mothers would say, you know, I'm sure Dalen Terry would end up scoring 8 and he's the future.
We won that game. We would have lost our chance in the lottery, too. So, really, is
we dodged a bullet.
As much of that Kool-Aid as I drank against the Hawks, because Trae Young sucks.
Yeah, Trae Young is bad.
I am very glad that the Kool-Aid did not win.
My closing statement, if you'd like to hear it, is actually has to do with Trae Young. Yes. So the Bulls beat Trae Young to move on in. They've talked about the changes that are coming to Atlanta for the Hawks. It's got to be Murray or Trae Young. Trae Young, rumored to be paired with Victor Wembanyama. They come out right away, says that that ain't going to be happening. The Spurs are not interested in pairing Trae Young and Victor Wembanyama. So my closing statement is, fuck you, Trae Young. So that's what I got. We'll be back next Wednesday, all right? You like that, Goose? That good?
Victor said nah.
Yeah, Victor said nah, not going to play with this guy who's going to try to shoot 73 shots in a game because those are my shots and mine are probably going to go in.
I'm good at rebounding. I ain't chasing that guy's boards.
Yeah, no shit. Everybody, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Please go to YouTube, subscribe to it. Subscribe to YouTube is important. Follow us on X, Bulls on Tap, On Tap Sportsnet, Goose on Tap, Buzz on Tap. That's where you can follow us on X and give us a 5-star rating and review anywhere you listen to podcasts because you can listen to us there. We'll be back next Wednesday to talk NBA playoffs and what other Bulls-related content we can come up with. I can't say let's go Bulls, so.
Let's go Clippers?
Yeah, let's go Clippers. Let's go Mavs.